Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It's hour three of In This League on FNTSY. I am your host, Scott Bogman. The Welsh is no longer with us, not meaning he's passed away. He's just not with us in this part of the show. So I introduce one of my favorite people in the world, my co-host on College Fantasy Football on Campus on the Fantrax Network. He is Mr. John Lobb. You can find him on the Twitter at GridironSkull91. We're obviously very passionate about college football, but today we're going to be talking about John's favorite, the NFL. John, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, and I believe we are Juju Smith-Schuster Day away from kickoff of the NFL season. I think we're 19 days away now, so I'm completely pumped. Like you said, we do college football together, but I've been playing NFL fantasy football. This will be my 31st season, and I still absolutely love it. And I just posted today, I've done 25 NFL drafts between best ball, redraft leagues, and mock drafts already this season, my friends.
Okay, I was going to say, I hope some of those are mocks. So
yes, I think four of them were mocks.
Four of them? So you have 21. How many best ball leagues do you have, John?
Oh, so I have five best ball.
So 16 regular leagues.
Yeah, and I got two more people, nice people I know online. So I got to do their leagues too.
Oh, you are a madman. How many are those mainly slow drafts that you're doing?
Yes, most of them have been slow drafts. I've done maybe one. Even the best ball were slow drafts. Yeah, so I think every one I've done so far, I will do that one draft online live. And the one I'm in currently is also a slow draft. So I think most of these have been slow drafts so far.
Yeah, I'm in way more leagues than I normally am this year, and it just kind of seems to be the way it goes. I will say that handling NFL leagues is much easier than handling baseball leagues, because baseball, obviously, every single day you're on the grind, changing your lineups and all that good stuff. Football, it's, you know, you got to hit your waiver wire hard. So, I mean, that can take a full day for insane people like you and I who are, doing, you know, double digit leagues. But, you know, setting the lineup is fairly easy. You just got to make sure you get in your Thursday guys beforehand. And, you know, then the rest is all Sunday morning. You can handle that stuff. So, you know, the amount of leagues is crazy, but it's not as bad as we make it out to be. Of course, when you pair that, John, with your, 30 college fantasy football leagues, or how many college leagues are you doing?
Right. I think it's going to I might do one more, but I think I'm done. I have 10 college now. Three of them are best ball. Seven of them are season long.
OK,
but I've done 10 and then two mocks.
I feel like that's not as bad as last year for you.
No, I think I've cut some of it out this year for college because it just what ended up was my Sunday and Saturday mornings were just overwhelmed with football.
Yeah, I bet your family never got to see you last year during a football season, right?
Yeah, so I'm trying to say, you know, look, maybe I go to bed Friday night in college fantasy football, look for maybe a health report, but I should be okay the next day.
All right, well, this is what we're doing on this show. In the last hour, we did with Casey Bubba, we went over quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers in each segment. In this one, John, I want to go over as many players as we possibly can. And we don't have to hit the whole NFL, but what I've done is I put a sheet together. I sent it to you a couple days ago. You know it. It's the I picked a player for every team that I have interest in, and I want to get your opinion on these guys because you know you and I personally talk about college fantasy a ton, so I know a bunch of your opinions there. But in the NFL, you know, we don't do a show together for that, and I know it is still your favorite over college. And I, you know, it's pretty close for me between college and professional. I would say NFL is probably still my favorite slightly. But it's getting closer every year. But let's start in the NFC East and let's go to Dallas. Now, I could ask you about Ezekiel Elliott and his suspension. I could ask you about Dak Prescott or even Amari Cooper with the plantar fascia stuff. But I feel like one of the more interesting players to me on the Dallas Cowboys is Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb coming over from the Packers, of course, going to play in the slot. We had some reports early about how Randall Cobb and Dak Prescott got their chemistry going together very, very early in camp. So is Randall Cobb a draftable player to you, or are you letting someone else take this risk?
At this point, I have zero shares. I actually posted online all of my shares of my top players, and I was looking at the rosters in my spreadsheet being a total nerd. And then I looked at your sheet, and I realized I have no Randall Cobb. So I've been investing in Michael Gallup, who is one of my top-owned wide receivers throughout the season since about April 1st is when I started drafting. Now, I will say, this potential injury with Amari Cooper has me a little concerned. So I would say I'm more interested in Randall Cobb now, and he's in my top 60, but I have not been targeting him up to this point.
All right, yeah. So he's moving up the board a little bit for you, but still overall kind of on the outs on Randall Cobb, right?
Absolutely.
All right, moving on to the New York Giants, John, with Evan Ingram. This guy is probably way more exciting to watch. You know, I could ask you about Saquon. I could ask you about the quarterback situation there. Or even the wide receivers are fairly interesting with Golden Tate. How far down does he fall and all that stuff? But Evan Ingram, to me, I moved him up in my rankings to the number 4 tight end. I moved him above O.J. Howard because I just think with Tate being hurt, or being suspended, and Shepard being banged up coming into the season with the hand injury, he should be fine. But I feel like Evan Ingram is in line for a ton of targets this year, and I'm excited about him. What do you think about Evan Ingram?
You know, it's interesting because I just totaled up my numbers, and Evan Ingram was my second most owned tight end.
Oh, okay.
So I have him on 20% of my teams. I like him in the 6th and 7th round. Now, what I do is I look on my board how many tight ends. I have an elite 6. And if I can get one of those elite 6, I attempt to do so. Sometimes they go off the board before I'm comfortable. I like that tight end in the 6th or 7th round. Or I draft my tight end very late. But I think Evan Ingram's going to have a bounce back season. I agree. There's so much turnover with Odell Beckham gone. Now we got a 4-game suspension with Golden Tate. I expect Evan Ingram to be one of the top 6 tight ends. I like him a ton, Scott.
Yeah, I'm just big on Evan Ingram. I think that he's really going to work out this year. I think he could vault himself into that upper echelon. Obviously, he has to improve a ton to get there because, you know, Kelce, Kittle, and Ertz are all crazy. You know, so I actually just took Kelce. I've been trying to find a mock. Welsh and I have been doing mock drafts over at In This League. I've been trying to find a mock where I can draft Travis Kelce, and I haven't been able to do it the whole year to see what my team looks like. And then it just so happened that he fell to me in the 2nd round of the Black Book Charity League. And so I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm pulling the trigger. So I don't know how much I'm going to like the roster, but I'm starting out with Bell and Kelce in that one.
You know, I had Kelce in the Scott Fishbowl. I had the 5th pick overall, and I made the determination in that bonus scoring for, yeah, you know, the 1.5. I took Kelce. I'm not in love with my roster. I hurt myself a little bit at the running back position, but I feel pretty good with it. But you have to make sacrifices somewheres if you pull the trigger on Kelce.
All right, let's move to Philadelphia. And this one, I keep seeing DeSean Jackson getting drafted a bunch, and I've always liked DeSean Jackson. He's always been one of my favorite wide receiver three targets. But I feel like they've got so much in Philly with, you know, both the tight ends and Ertz and Goddard, and they have a million running backs and Sanders and Howard and, you know, all those guys. Wendell Smallwood's still there. They re-signed Sproles. Alshon Jeffrey's still there. Nelson Aguilar is still there. So I just haven't found myself owning DeSean Jackson a ton. Do you still think that he's a nice fit at wide receiver three for your boom or bust teams? Or have you been taking him for the bench, or have you been avoiding DeSean Jackson?
I've been avoiding him. And the problem is, I like so many other assets in the Philadelphia passing game. I have a ton of shares of Carson Wentz. And I also like Miles Sanders. And obviously, if Zach Ertz is available, and I don't want three Eagles. So even though I think DeSean Jackson has value, I don't have a lot of them. I think I have him on one team. And that's a best ball, because I like the idea that I don't have to predict when DeSean Jackson is going to have three catches for 90 yards and a touchdown. I think in a regular redraft league where you have to, you know, choose three starters every week, it's very hard to put DeSean Jackson into your lineups.
Is he better in standard than he is in PPR? Would you be more likely to take him there?
You know, that's probably, but, you know, I'm looking at his touchdown. I just opened up his stats. It's interesting. 5,000-yard seasons. He's had a much better career than people give him credit for. But the last 4 years, he's only had 17 touchdowns. No, 15, I'm sorry. So he's averaging less than four touchdowns a season for the last four. So I don't think it matters, because he's never going to get you seven catches in a game. But when you're relying on that long touchdown, it's very difficult, Scott.
Yeah, and that's why I've been avoiding him. So I'm just not in. I think people think that the magic is him in an Eagles uniform, and I just don't think that's it at all. So I'm out.
Not with so much talent. Not with so much talent, right?
Right. I just think there's better value picks there, yep. You know. So we'll see how he turns out. Probably the best player I have on this list, well, definitely the best player I have as far as ADP goes, for the NFC East is in Washington with Darius Geis, John. And, you know, we've seen Adrian Peterson look spry, I'll say, in the preseason so far. So that's nice. He's looked good. And Darius Geis hasn't been cleared to play yet. And it's not because of the knee, but he had a different injury, a hamstring injury. Now, I do think it was funny that he went on television a couple weeks ago and talked about how he's not an injury-prone player, and the ACL was the very first thing that's ever happened to him, and now he has this hamstring injury. I feel like he was tempting fate a little bit when he did that. Not a very smart move on his part. But Darius Geis, what do you think of him, and do you own any shares of him?
I have a ton of shares in my dynasty leagues because I drafted him heavily last year, and I don't give up on a 22-year-old running back, and I loved his metrics and his production coming out of LSU. So I still have long-term faith in him. What I find happening is he's going off the board usually in the fifth or sixth round, and we were talking about Evan Ingram. I'm kind of targeting tight end, or maybe my third wide receiver in that round. So I don't have a lot of shares of Darius Geis. But what really bothers me is this Redskins offense and this Trent Williams. I don't think their offensive line was very good before the Trent Williams holdout. Now the fact that he's not on the field scares the living daylights out of me.
Yeah.
So I'm not really investing in him in my redraft leagues. Now, look, if there was value in the eighth round, I would be all over it, but he always seems to go, I don't want to pay a fifth or sixth round pick for Darius Geis. So I'm not heavily invested. I think I have him on two dynasty teams and one best ball and one redraft.
Yeah, Peterson on any of your teams?
I do not, because someone, when the waiver wire happened, people owned him in my two dynasty teams. I never got him. And I've been avoiding Peterson in redraft. I might have a blind spot, which I'm making a mistake. But I have not drafted Peterson. I don't see how he can still be that great, but I could be wrong again.
It's one of those many situations where I look and I say I don't want anyone from this situation, but I keep ending up with Peterson because he falls so far. You know?
Isn't he like 10th or 11th round usually?
Yeah, you know I don't want any Sooners on my teams, John. If I can avoid taking any Oklahoma players, I'm doing it. But he just falls so late. I feel like, you know, he still has a chance to be the number one back for them, and I just keep swooping him up. So I think we can get another one in before the break here. How about we go to Chicago with the Bears and Anthony Miller, John? I feel like Anthony Miller mirrors DeSean Jackson a ton. I think that his upside is higher. I think he could be in line for more catches. I don't think his career is going to go like DeSean Jackson's, but I think his 2019 value could be, because there's just a ton of options in this Bears offense as well. You know, they've got Trey Burton. They've got Allen Robinson. They've got all those running backs in Montgomery and Mike Davis and Tariq Cohen. So I haven't been investing in Anthony Miller. I don't have any shares of him. Obviously, he was huge in college. We know that with his production at Memphis. So what are you doing with Anthony Miller for the 2019 season?
I am buying Anthony Miller. I'm more heavily invested than I originally had thought. So it's interesting. Early in the draft process, I was buying a lot of Anthony Miller in rounds 10 or 11. I thought that was a fair value. Then I kind of said, you know what? I have too many of them, so I held off. But now Anthony Miller's dropping to the 12th or 13th round again. I'm buying in that round. He had 7 touchdowns last year on very limited targets and catches. I don't expect him to be that efficient moving forward, but I do expect him to have more targets and catches this year. So I'm buying Anthony Miller.
All right, well, we've got way more players to talk about, so we are going to take a break with my buddy John Lobb and come right back after this. Remember, you can find him on the Twitter at @GridironSkull91. I am at Bogman Sports, and we will be right back to talk more NFL football.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League
has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
Relax, go to West. When you want to go to West, relax, go to West. When you want to go, relax, go to West. When you want to suck it to West.
Welcome back to In This League on FNTSY. It's the last hour, the final hour. It's me and my buddy John Lobb talking football, but I got a read here for you. The 2019-20 NFL season is here, and you can become the 8th person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament, setting their lineups using the DailyRoto.com DFS Lineup Optimizer, or become one of the countless number of people who have won thousands of dollars playing DFS using DailyRoto.com. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Head on over, check out their tools for NFL, MLB, PGA, NBA, NHL, and sports wagering, or get access to all of them with Daily Roto Elite Package. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount, and you'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, and use of the same Daily Roto lineup optimizers that have produced millions in DFS winnings. That's DailyRoto.com, promo code ACTION, DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made. All right, Johnny, moving on here. We are in the NFC North. We talked about Anthony Miller. Let's go to Detroit where we got, I picked Marvin Jones Jr. because I feel like I haven't talked about him once this offseason. And I feel like we need to, you know, everyone's talking about Kerryon. Kenny Golladay is a high pick, which you and I were obviously on before most people, doing all the college fantasy stuff that you and I do. So what do you think of Marvin Jones Jr. this year? And do you have any shares of him?
I do have shares, and in the beginning of the process of my research, I was not heavily interested in Marvin Jones coming off the injury. We know they have a change at the offensive coordinator. Patricia wants to run the football more. But then what I noticed is that Jones just kept falling so far, Scott. I've gotten him in the 12th and 13th rounds at times, so I think there's value there. I don't target him. I don't usually take him. He's usually my fifth wide receiver, which I absolutely love having him. I got him on two of my best ball teams because, again, I don't have to predict when he goes off. So I do think he's an undervalued asset, but I'm not going to spend like an eighth or ninth round pick on Marvin Jones. But he slips so much.
Yeah, he's just so good as a fifth wide receiver for you, you know, and I feel like people are kind of taking him for granted. Golden Tate off the team. He only played in 9 games last season, of course, but 508 yards. In the years before that, you know, the year before that in Detroit, 1,100 yards and 9 scores, 930 yards and 4 scores, 816 yards and 4 scores. So he had 5 touchdowns in only 9 games last year. So I feel like he is just a little bit underappreciated, and that's why I wanted to talk about him here. Let's go to Green Bay. Aaron Jones, this, you know, I think that the Welsh and I have kind of beat Geronimo Allison versus Marquez Valdez-Scantling into the ground. So I don't know that there's much more that we can talk about there. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, a high-end quarterback. I don't know that there's much to discuss with him. Jimmy Graham is a nice piece that I've been taking late in a lot of drafts. You know, you kind of mentioned how you're either going for one of those upside guys that aren't the top three or you're waiting till the end. He's been one of my end guys that I've taken in a bunch of spots. But Aaron Jones is a mystery to me because I loved him coming out of UTEP. He's clearly the best running back on this roster. Jamal Williams is great, but he's a bit of a grinder. I do not like Dexter Williams at all, so I'm not a Dexter Williams guy, but he's been banged up for the 2 years he's been in the NFL. He's also been suspended, and, you know, in camp, he's already been banged up a little bit, John. So what are you doing with Aaron Jones?
So he's one of the conundrums that I have, Scott, from a fantasy perspective this year. I have 4 shares out of my 25 teams of Aaron Jones because I love to acquire him early this year in the 5th or 6th round as my 3rd running back. Now I see him going off sometimes in the 3rd round. So I have not been buying him lately. But honestly, you brought up some concerns that I have. I'm not as bullish on him as some other people. He's only played 24 games the last 2 seasons. While he has been productive when he's on the field, you know, he can't stay on the field. And I find myself, if I draft Aaron Jones, I have to either invest in Jamal Williams or Dexter Williams. I think you can't not have his handcuff. So I don't have a ton of them. I see the upside if he could ever stay on the field for 16 games and get 220 touches. But I just don't believe he's going to get that many touches. So I'm not interested before round 5.
Right. And like you mentioned, just there's so much upside. It's silly, but I just can't trust him to stay healthy. And I know a lot of people say that about Leonard Fournette, and I'm not against taking Leonard Fournette, but he's just pure volume to me and skill.
Yes.
So,
and the system. I mean, Aaron Jones at the end of the day has Aaron Rodgers. You know, Fournette has Nick Foles.
Right.
So you're going to ground and pound with Fournette.
Let's move on to Minnesota here. And Kirk Cousins is the guy I want to talk about, John, because I mentioned this with Joe in the last show that we did. And I mentioned it with Casey Bubba in the last hour. I'm a little bit concerned for the passing offense in Minnesota with them drafting Irv Smith and talking about wanting to do way more 2 tight end sets. I think Dalvin Cook's going to get a lot of run. I've been bumping Alexander Mattison up in my drafts as well because I think he could get a bunch of carries as well if they want to keep the ground game pounding for the majority of the game. So Kirk Cousins and I think the receivers are going to need to take a little bit of a hit here. I haven't drafted anyone in the Minnesota offense yet except for Madison because he goes so late. Now I'll take Cook and I'll take Thielen and Diggs, but I just haven't yet. And I don't know. I think I'm out on Kirk Cousins. What do you think of Minnesota in the offense this year?
I'm not overly interested, and I understand a lot of people. There is value because Kirk Cousins is basically an afterthought, which I don't think is fair for how productive he's been. But remember, you and I know I'm a Bronco fan. We've talked a lot. They're implementing a Gary Kubiak, Rick Dennison blocking scheme.
Right.
And what that means is the running back is the superstar. Other than Matt Schaub, if you look at Gary Kubiak, historically, his quarterbacks do not go off. They're nice, productive, efficient players. But the player you want in the Kubiak system is clearly the running back. So the two teams that I have Kirk Cousins on, he is my second quarterback because I kind of envision a lot of days of 240 yards passing with one touchdown where the running game gets 180 yards on the ground and three touchdowns in Minnesota. So I'm not really targeting Kirk Cousins unless it's round like in a best ball in round 19 or 18 and I need my second quarterback, then I'm okay with it. But I don't feel good with him as my number one quarterback in a redraft league. Despite the obvious value, I think people don't understand how different this Viking offense is going to be under Dennison and Kubiak.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it, and I hope I'm wrong because I hope that we get a ton of production out of those guys. I'm just not confident in it happening, so I haven't been investing. Like I said, I'll invest in Cook, but I haven't been investing in the wideouts, though.
No, I mean, they're not. I don't think they're going to be as uber productive as they were last year.
What about if we're going to the South here in Atlanta, this backup running back situation? Because I think we know what Matt Ryan is, right? I think we know Calvin Ridley and Julio are both very good. I think the interesting players as far as draftability are Austin Hooper and the backup running back, because the second running back is usually fairly productive in Atlanta. You know, Coleman with Freeman's injury last year was a nice add, but Ito Smith got in a little bit of run too, but he's looked bad in the preseason, and Brian Hill kind of looked better in that first Hall of Fame game, and Quadri Allison was the guy that looked good in the second game, John. So what do you think about Ito Smith and the backup second running back situation in Atlanta?
I believe this is a problem that I'm trying to avoid at all costs right now. Obviously, Devonta Freeman is the stud. He's the one you got to invest in. But I'm not completely convinced that this backfield, we know the handcuff or the roles. You mentioned three different players, Ito Smith, Quadri Allison, Brian Hill. I could give you a reason why each one could be successful, but I could probably give you two reasons why each one would fail.
Who would you pick if you had to pick, though?
I have Brian Hill on two dynasty teams.
Oh, okay.
So, and he's basically a waiver wire or free draft pick. I think Brian Hill is the most talented who could. I just don't see. Let's say Freeman goes down, Scott.
Right.
I don't see Ito Smith having 20 touches a game. I think if Brian Hill beats out Allison, which I think Hill is better. He was better at Wyoming than Allison was at Pittsburgh. I like the tape. I like the athletic ability of Hill better. He's bounced around a little bit. But if Hill was on the roster, I think he goes into the position that Ito Smith remains third down back, change of pace back. So I like Brian Hill because he costs you nothing.
Yeah, see, this one is so difficult for me because I feel like I still like Ito Smith the most. You know, he's a guy that carried the load at Southern Miss. I know he's a smaller dude, but he always kind of had a little bit of that Phillip Lindsay feel to me. You know, obviously Philip Lindsay did it at a Power 5 school, not a G5 school. So more confidence in him. But I like the fact that Ito Smith has that experience. Not that Brian Hill doesn't have it, because he did the same thing at Wyoming. But, you know, I don't know. I just I feel like it's still Ito Smith, but he's looked so bad. So I think it's a good spot to avoid. If you're in a really deep league, I think any of those guys can be productive, and I don't really have a big leg up on it. Moving over to Carolina, John, Curtis Samuel has been getting so much hype, and he was great at Ohio State. We know him more as a kind of tweener between halfback and wide receiver, but obviously most of his production is going to be at wideout for the Panthers. Have you been investing this season?
No, because I'm heavily invested in DJ Moore. DJ Moore is my number one wide receiver that I have. I think I have
about
44% of my teams. So I'm either going to go down with the ship like a good captain, or I'm going to arrive with a boatload of booty. You know, I'm going to just... So I think DJ Moore is the classic alpha male. I loved him coming out of Maryland. He was my number one rated prospect. I think he's a better route runner. I think he's just a better receiver. Now, you had mentioned a little bit with the gadget play. I think Curtis Samuel is your gadget player. I think he'll have moments when he goes completely nuts and he'll be huge, but I'm invested in DJ Moore. Now, I actually had a league where I didn't get DJ Moore recently, so I ended up acquiring Curtis Samuel in like the ninth round. So there is value, but once I have DJ Moore, I'm obviously not going to invest in Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, I like Curtis Samuel a lot, but I'm with you. I'm a DJ Moore guy, and it's tough to invest. Like you said, you have DJ Moore in 44%. I don't know that there's too many guys that I'll own 44% of in my NFL leagues, but DJ Moore could definitely be one of those guys. Like you said, I was high on him last season as well. I still think I had Ridley over him, but DJ Moore is a player that I've always liked. You know,
I love the reports with Cam, my friend.
Yeah. Slinging it. His shoulder surgery. He needed it. So,
yes. And I like the thing about Moore, his yak ability is off the charts.
It absolutely is. So I just haven't been investing that much in Samuel because of the, you know, the other factors of me owning DJ Moore. I think the helium's good where it's at right now. I think if it goes any more, because he's just raising too high, you know, he's being picked in like the sixth or seventh round right now. And I'm not into him there. So can't do it. Let's go to New Orleans. Latavius Murray, John, you know, Sean Payton talked about how they expect Alvin Kamara to have the same type of role that he had last season. I talked about him a little bit with Bubba in hour two, where, you know, I'm not afraid of him, but I don't expect him to be to just go completely nuts and be the number one player in fantasy or anything. He's still a top three guy, of course, because he's explosive. But I thought that news was bigger for Latavius Murray, because this is the guy they brought in to play the Mark Ingram type of a role. And you want to invest in players that are going to have guaranteed touches in high octane offenses. And I feel like that's what we have in Murray. He's gone up a little bit in drafts recently because of that news. Are you investing in Latavius at all?
So I loved Latavius when he was a 10th round value. Now you're right. I've seen him going off the board now, sometimes as early as the 7th round, mostly in the 8th round area. I do think he's the perfect complement to Latavius Murray, because I believe Alvin Kamara is greater than the sum of his parts. And he is so efficient, Scott. Why would you put too much of a workload on him? I think under 200 carries is the perfect threshold for Alvin Kamara. You want to get him the ball in space in the passing game between 70 and 80 receptions. So what does that mean? That means there's anywhere between 155 and 200 touches for Latavius Murray. And in the goal line, especially if the Saints have a lead in the fourth quarter, I think you let Latavius Murray pound it out. So I don't want to spend a seventh or eighth round value, but I did like Latavius Murray. I loved him in the 10th round because he's going to have his role.
Yeah. Do you think he can be as good as Ingram?
No, I don't think he's as good of a player as Ingram. That I disagree with. I think Ingram's he's a very underrated football player, Mark Ingram.
I think Ingram is too. I'm a little worried about Ingram in Baltimore this year just because they have 850 running backs there.
And age catches up.
Right, exactly. So we'll see what happens with Ingram. But I've been investing Latavius Murray a bunch, especially because on Fantrax, his ADP is the lowest out of any of the sites. So snap him up there late if you possibly can. But that is going to end segment two with John. We're going to come back. We're going to try a lightning round through the rest of the NFL. I doubt we're going to get all the guys, but we will get as many as we possibly can. Stick right here. It's In This League on FNTSY.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends is in the...
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back. It's the final segment of the 3 hours of In This League on FNTSY. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. I'm on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. You can follow me. You can ask me questions about whatever you want. And I'm joined by my partner in crime at the College Fantasy Football on Campus podcast on Fantrax, John Law. But we are talking NFL today, and we have been hitting all of the pertinent points here of, you know, one player per team. And we didn't get all the way through the NFC, and we have the whole AFC to go to. So we're going to try to lightning round as much as we can here. But both John and I can get to be a little bit long winded. So, John, let's go to Tampa Bay. Ronald Jones, are you in or out this year?
I'm in because the value's there. I know the reports talk about Peyton Barber looks better, but we've seen a large sample size of Peyton Barber, and he's completely inefficient in the running game. Now, could he make a dramatic leap? Yes, but I'm still buying Ronald Jones. Now, he might go out and stink up the joint. That's within the realm of outcomes. But I've got to think the Buccaneers invested a second-round pick in him. I still think the talent's there. We've got to see him with the sample size of 75 to 100 carries before we really make a determination on Ronald Jones. So I'm buying him as the price is falling.
All right, let's go to Arizona. Andy Isabella scored a touchdown the other night in the preseason game. He was a little bit banged up, but I feel like, however you feel on Andy Isabella, if you're investing at all, it's either a complete dart throw because your league is super deep and he fell, or you're buying him at the end of a regular draft because you're in on this Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray offense in Arizona. So what do you think?
I like the long-term possibility and potential of Andy Isabella. The talent's there. That touchdown he caught last night against the Raiders is exactly what he did on a regular basis at UMass. But you know what? There's too many mouths to feed. There's three rookies with Isabella, Hakeem Butler, Keyshawn Johnson. We hear about Kevin White. So right now I'm avoiding Andy Isabella, even though I still believe him as a long-term pro.
Yeah, I've been taking a couple, shares of him at the end of deeper league drafts. Your standard 13, meh, you know, your 13 to 15 picks. I'm not doing that. So, but in a deeper league, I will throw a dart. Let's go to L.A. with the Rams, John. Darrell Henderson struggling in this zone running scheme. He's obviously more used to a gap running scheme. He's buried on the depth chart right now. But I think it's about getting him the ball in space. I think that he could do that early, and I think he could earn his role later into the season. He might be rough to watch in the beginning, and he might be one of those guys that gets drafted early and is one of the first drops because he only gets four or five touches in the first game, and you know, someone goes down or someone looks good or however it works out. And I like him more for the back half of the season. What is your thought on Darrell Henderson this year?
I do like him in the back half of the season. I'm heavily invested. But one of the reasons why I was invested, not only was there the Todd Gurley issue, but I had the belief that Sean McVay was a good enough coach that he would design plays around Darrell Henderson's skill set. And you had mentioned it. I'm not surprised that he's having a difficult time running the ball in the current Rams offensive ground game. I believe that he needs to get in space. I do believe that McVay will be wise enough during the regular season to scheme Darrell Henderson one-on-one on the edges in space. So I have a belief still, but I agree with you. It might take a little while to come to fruition.
All right. Yeah, I mean, Darrell Henderson is going to be fun to watch, but it might be a little bit. How about we go to the Niners? Dante Pettis moving down the ranks because Debo has looked good and Jalen Hurd has looked good. Obviously, Trent Taylor banged up as well. We had the weird reports of Jimmy G not looking good in practice and all that stuff, but we're not too worried about that, John. What do you think of Dante Pettis for this year?
I have a little bit too many shares of Pettis, not as many as my other receivers, but I have about 18%, or I think it was, market share. Hey, look, I loved him throughout the process. I have not been happy the last 2 weeks. Everything I'm reading out of San Francisco, he did not look great in the game last week, so obviously there's some concerns. But I will say this, the depth chart still tells me that Pettis is the best. Debo and Jalen are rookies. There's challenges there for young men first year to get in the league and be stars. Marquise Goodwin is kind of a one-trick pony, so that bothers me a little bit.
How dare you, my Longhorn.
I was going to say I'm making fun of a Longhorn here. But so I still think Dante Pettis is the best player in the long term. But obviously I have concerns. And I haven't drafted him in my last four drafts because people still want him in the eighth round, ninth round. If he's there in the 11th, I would take him, but I've moved him down also, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, I've been investing in Debo a ton, and I said it before the preseason started too. You know, I have, you know this from college fantasy, John. I've just always been a Debo mark. I love that
dude. Yeah, you were taking him last year, right?
Yeah, love him so much. And he was, obviously suffered through bad quarterback play at South Carolina. Not that Jake Bentley's horrible or anything, but he was so hot or cold on days. And he was facing double teams and, you know I've hit people over the head with this point, but if you haven't heard it yet, just go back and watch his highlights from Clemson. That's the one team that didn't double him because they thought they were good enough, and he torched them, you know, and that's the national champs. He torched them. So I'm investing in Debo more than I am in Pettis, especially because the value's lower. You can get him lower and later in the draft. Finishing up the NFC here, John, Rashad Penny in Seattle. This team ran more times than anybody else last year. Well over 49% was spent on the ground, but they have Chris Carson there as well. And we just heard that report. I believe it was Albert Breer who said that they expect 2/3 of the touches to go to Carson. I don't know if I believe that. I think Pete Carroll is a bit of a wild card. He'll go by. John knows I'm being nice. I'm being nice. He's a bit of a wild card, and he'll go by whoever is playing the best in the game. So I think Penny can still carve out a role. I'm obviously way more invested in Carson, but what do you think about Penny this year?
I'm a little concerned. I do agree with you. He'll carve out a role, but I saw some people, some pundits, experts, they thought Rashad Penny was going to blow up this year with like 1,200 yards rushing, buying Rashad Penny. I'm much more invested in Chris Carson because the price was so good. Now it's definitely rising. I think Penny will, hey, if Carson ever got hurt, you immediately pick up Penny. But I think I would assume he gets about 35% of the touches. Carson fits the system that Carroll and Schottenheimer want to run, violent, aggressive, and consistent. I like Carson a lot more than Penny.
All right, let's go to Buffalo in the AFC. And Devin Singletary has been moving up and up and up boards, especially as Frank Gore doesn't play. There's talk about LeSean McCoy, although I think if they were going to cut him, they would have done it by now and he would be gone. So I don't think McCoy is getting cut. I think he's still going to be the number one. But Singletary seems to have latched on to the backup role at the very least. And, you know, however Buffalo goes, he could end up seeing significant carries at the end of the season. Have you been investing in Singletary?
I have, my friend. It's like when I used to go to New York City in college, I had to get those pizza slices and all of their delis. I am buying Devin Singletary. The price is right. I think you have to be patient with him. But I think by the second half of the season, Devin Singletary should be the main back in the Buffalo backfield.
Miami, Kalen Ballage. This situation is so weird, John. Felt like I was leaning more towards Ballage, especially with the stuff about Drake being banged up and in a walking boot and all that stuff. But then they gave him money. They gave Drake the extension. So yeah. I don't know what to think of this situation. Straighten me out.
So I'm not buying Kalen Ballage. I remember we were talking. He had that 7-touchdown game. Remember when he was at Arizona State?
Against Texas Tech.
Yeah, he has a lot of strength, but he literally looks like he has a target and he just runs straight for it. There's no wiggle. There's no vision. I cannot believe what is happening, what the reports are coming out of Miami. I'm still buying Kenyon Drake. I'm glad that the price is going down. I just can't believe that Kalen Ballage is going to magically find his vision and have elusiveness at the NFL level. So I'm glad that the price is going down on Kenyon Drake.
How about Sam Darnold and the Jets? Darnold, huge prospect coming out of USC. A little bit disappointing, but the offense was rough last year in New York. Now they bring in Adam Gase, who hasn't done us favors or, you know, spurned any confidence with us in Miami. What do you think about investing in Darnold this year? You in or out?
Before I say, if Adam Gase was not the coach, I would have Darnold in my top 15. Totally 100% in. But between that weird video of his eyes freaking out, and then did you see him snorting that? Like,
yeah.
It's like, okay. So that concerns, there's a huge problem that I have. But talent-wise, Scott, Sam Darnold is special. I hope he can transcend the coaching or lack of coaching. So I'm in on Darnold. I think he could be special at the NFL level. The traits that he has that I've seen, he is a great quarterback.
How about Sony Michel with the Patriots? Obviously the knee bothering a lot of people. Damian Harris's ADP is moving a little bit up right now, but Michel hasn't gone down so far in the preseason. He looks strong. Are you drafting Sony Michel at all?
I like the price on Sony Michel. I love him as my second. If you get him as your third running back, I think that's a no-brainer. The only thing is you have to choose which other Patriot you're going to back him up with. Do you want to go Damian Harris or Rex Burkhead? I think Damian Harris is the more likely player to get touches if Michelle goes down. So I love Michelle as my second and third running back, but you just have to then get his handcuff. Because James White role, we know what he is. I don't think he becomes, you know, the 25-touch guy a game if Sony Michel goes down.
Now, the one Sooner that I have been investing in on occasion, yeah. John, and it's the worst because not only is he a Sooner, but he's also a Raven, But Mark Andrews looks like the number one target in Baltimore. Now, this is one of those things where I people are calling him the next George Kittle. I don't think I can go that high on him. But it's a lot of pressure is being put on him because they don't have a true number one target in Baltimore. So are you in on Mark Andrews and his ADP is moving up? Are you still on him with the rising ADP?
You're going to be shocked. He's my most heavily invested tight end.
Man.
I have 32%. And I saw a statistic by Adam Leventhal. I don't want to take credit for something that I didn't see. He has not been on the field a lot with Lamar Jackson, which concerns me. But I think he's a big play type of tight end. He excelled with Baker Mayfield when the play broke down and Baker Mayfield was scrambling around and then Andrews got behind the defense. He can do that with Lamar Jackson. I still have confidence. I might not be investing any more in him, but he's 32% of my teams. I own him on 8. I love Andrews this year.
How about Tyler Boyd in Cincinnati? AJ Green getting hurt. Invest in there.
Second most high owned wide receiver. He's on 40% of my teams. I have a lot of teams with DJ Moore and Tyler Boyd in rounds 4 and 5 or 5 and 6.
How about Jarvis Landry with Cleveland? Obviously, OBJ coming in. So a lot of people are down on him. I had a nice debate between him and Chris Godwin. Who would you pick between Landry and Godwin this year? In a PPR league.
Oh, I would definitely take Godwin. Now, okay. I like Landry. The problem is I have so many shares of Nick Chubb, Baker Mayfield, and David Njoku. I don't have anything of Landry. If you want the cheapest piece of Cleveland, it's probably Landry. I love him. Just the way the draft turns out, I've never acquired, but I'm not against him. I do like him very much.
How about Dante Moncrief with the Steelers, John? Seemingly the number two wideout right here. I know James Washington has been getting some push, and I know that on Fantrax, Washington's ADP is still over Moncrief's from all those early drafts. Obviously, you know, Washington was supposed to be the one before they signed Moncrief, or the two behind Juju, of course. But what do you think about Moncrief for this season?
I do not have a lot of Moncrief because I'm invested in James Washington. I only have him like on 16% of the teams. I like the value on James Washington. You and I loved him at Oklahoma State. What a fantastic player. And I still believe in the talent in the long run. But I do think it's going to end up almost like a committee situation at the number two wide receiver spot.
I'm going to skip down and ask you some of my favorites here to end this. Cortland Sutton in Denver. Are you in on him, or have you been investing more in, you know, Manny Sanders looks a little bit more healthy than we expected, and Deshaun Hamilton always getting buzz. What do you think of the Denver wide receiver situation?
Love Cortland Sutton. Own him on 20% of my team, Scott. I believe in him totally and the ability.
How about Sammy Watkins with Kansas City?
I have zero. I'm out of the Sammy Watkins business. I can't take it anymore.
Justin Jackson with the Chargers?
I'm buying Justin Jackson because Austin Eckler is too expensive. I'll take my shares of Justin Jackson in round 14. I love it.
Darren Waller with Oakland.
You know, I love the value. If you're in a two tight end league, he's clearly worth your second tight end. It's a long shot, but I do believe there's value. So I like him. In a one tight end league, I have no interest in Waller.
About a minute left. Let's see if we can do it. Kiki QT in Houston.
I'm out. Will Fuller, DeAndre Hopkins are bust.
Nyheim Hines in Indy.
I love the value there as long as Andrew Luck. It worries me that Luck isn't on the field, but I do like Nyheim Hines.
Chris Conley in Jacksonville getting helium.
No interest. I'd rather have D.D. Westbrook.
Deion Lewis in Tennessee.
Only if I get him as my fifth or sixth running back, or maybe if I have Derrick Henry.
We did it, John. We hit every team in the NFL. Thanks so much for joining me. I really appreciate you filling in for the Welsh with his new CBS gig and all that good stuff. But I really appreciate it. Always fun to talk to John Lobb, and you guys should go follow him on the Twitter @GridironSkull91. You can follow me @BogdanSports, The Welsh, at Is It the Welsh. Appreciate Casey Bubba showing up too at BDN Trek for him. And we will see you guys next week. Have a good weekend, everybody.